from the Star Rental Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
2 o'clock headlines are brought to you by Buddy's Goodies in Glass. Kevin?
It's always 420 at Buddy's.
Mm-hmm. That's what I hear, even though it seems like it's just 2 o'clock on the button right
now. No, Ian, as soon as you walk into Buddy's, boom, it's 420.
Various reports have Seahawks all-pro punter Michael Dixon getting a contract extension. Will that make Russ happy?
Man.
Russ, who knows? Don't worry. If you go three and out and get sacked at the one-yard line when you do your spinorama five times, our punter is going to get you out of harm's way. He won't make it look as bad for you as it should. Nevertheless, that happened. Mariners tonight taking on the Angels of Anaheim. We just heard from Mark Lanx a little while ago. Shohei Ohtani on the mound, and according to Langston, hitting second.
It's the Shohei show.
It is the Shohei show. Robert Duggar will get the start for the Mariners. He's not quite as good as Ohtani, but we'll see what he does tonight.
Can he hit like Ohtani? No.
Can he hit better than Kelnick?
Boy. That's going to be a conversation on Mollywop
Monday. Mollywop Monday coming up. Oh, I can't wait for that. I cannot wait for that. All right.
It's almost like never failing anywhere. And then only failing first in the majors might not be good.
NBA playoffs last night. The Phoenix Suns eliminated the Lakers. And the Denver Nuggets eliminated your friends, the Portland Trailblazers. They are both done. We told you what the hockey games are tonight, so let's move on to the next hour. Because I want to get to this. I haven't seen it. You're telling me, where's this at?
The Seahawks just released it.
The Seahawks released a video.
We have new numbers, and I found the place where it's listed instead of just having to watch the video.
Okay, so we'll fire off what you got for me.
Akello Weatherspoon is your new number two.
Two.
Quandre Diggs was number 37. He is your new number six. This is where it gets weird, Ian.
Okay. So Witherspoon corner is two.
Yes.
Diggs goes from 37 to six.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
You are about to have a defensive end.
Okay.
Carlos Dunlap moving from 43 to eight.
I don't mind that. I don't mind that.
I mean, I don't
hated
mind
43, to be honest with you.
43 looked weird, too. It's just strange. So those are the most significant because they're weird new numbers. Danny Etling had to move from number two to number nine for Witherspoon. Alex McGough, or Magoo, moved from number six to number 10 so that Quandre could have number six.
Wait. Did you alert Puckett to that?
I didn't.
So Alex Magoo is wearing what number?
Number 10.
You know who wore number 10? You don't. I'll help you out here. Jim Zorn.
Yeah. Has his number been retired?
Actually, no. You know what? I'm mistaken. He's a Dave Craig guy. He didn't like Zorn. So that's fine. That'll be fine with Pop.
Okay. A couple other new ones. Cody Thompson, 81 to 11. No one cares about that. Daryl Taylor moved from 58 to 52. Never saw him in the field, so that one doesn't matter. I'm sorry.
Did it really exist before?
Yeah. If you're not on the field, does the number actually exist? Let's see. Cedric Abui from 74 to 75. 74 to 70. Interesting, maybe to me, Brian Monet, 92 to 90. Robert Kembice, 92. Al Woods, 93. And number 99, officially given a number.
Quentin Jefferson.
Alden Smith.
Ooh. Ooh. Hmm. Where are we with that?
That's the reason I brought that one up.
We'll bring that. We'll talk later about that.
It's a little interesting, huh?
So number six is Diggs, right?
Number six is Quandre Diggs, yes.
Do you know the last player to wear six? I believe. I did a quick search.
I have a hope. Charlie.
Touchdown.
Charlie.
Or
Charlie.
Clipboard Jesus. Yes,
Charlie.
Indeed.
Charlie.
If I'm Diggs, I'm staying far away from that number.
I mean,
what the hell are you doing, man?
Look, Quandre, just keep your hair short, okay? Let's not mess around with that clipboard Jesus mess.
Let's see. Jim Zorn was a 10. What was the other one? Two. Todd Peterson, I think, might have been the last one. Oh, no. You know who else wore that?
I know. I bet you do.
It was the quarterback. It was a quarterback.
David Green?
No. David Green was 11. And why I should even...
I'm wondering why you know that.
I don't know.
Because let's be honest. Are we sure he had a number?
For a day, yeah. I'm pretty sure it was 11 only just because I saw him at practice.
I'm proud of you for knowing.
The two was the quarterback that everyone loved, the athletic kid, tall. What was his name? I'll think of it in a second. He always had a great preseason for Seattle. What the hell was his name? I think he ended up. Anyway,
I'm honestly
tall,
not sure.
Tall, lean, thin quarterback that I don't know if he ever played a game for.
All right, 49451, help us out here because clearly, Josh Portis.
Yes, that's it. That's
there
it. Josh Portis.
Thank you. 425.
Josh Portis. Yes. Yes, Josh Portis was like.
Man, I can't believe Carlos Dunlap's wearing number 8. That's crazy.
Well,
this is going to be a weird year.
How often,
though,
do you watch
numbers?
A college football game and you see the DN wearing a single-digit number? Right?
All the time.
That's what they wear.
Make it any less weird. It's going to be weird. And I'm not a numbers guy. I don't care about uniforms. I don't care about numbers for jersey numbers. This is going to be strange.
Okay, do you care about this? Do you care about the following? Do you care about Julio Jones?
Julio Jones, I'm trying to remember. Well, we already have a number 11, so that's clear that they're not trading for Julio Jones, right?
I think Danny Etling?
Yeah.
Or no, who was it?
No, 11 is Cody Thompson.
Yeah. Hey, kid, guess what? is it a possibility? Let's check out that fact with Ian Rappaport.
Coming to you live from our Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 950 KJR. This is our weekly conversation with NFL Network's Ian Rappaport. Brought to you by Porter & York. Rare meat, well done. Visit PorterAndYork.com. Now with Ian Rappaport, here's Ian Furness.
All right, let's get right to it. Ian Rappaport, NFL Insider, NFL Network joining us, courtesy of Porter & York, PorterAndYork.com. How are you, sir?
I'm great. I actually just got my delivery at Porter & York yesterday, which I don't know if you may or may not have seen on the old Instagram. I got a couple things I've never tried before, so I am very excited about it.
I love it. Well, yeah, you are the king of the Instagram. You're the king of the gram. You and all the other young people out there in this world. We talked about it last week. Before we get to Julio and everything else, we talked about the excitement in the city last week. You were at MSG with your lovely bride, Leah. You were there watching the Knicks and the Hawks. And now it's come to a screeching halt. Is New York okay after that playoff loss?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because, like, everybody was so crazy about the Knicks, and then they lost, and it's like everyone, like, sort of moved on a little bit, which is kind of funny. You know, I mean, I think it was I think they're making their peace with it. I mean, the problem is it was a good season, so you can say whatever you want about the loss, but, like, this was a step forward, so I think they'll be okay, and the Mets are in first place. Get through it.
Well, and you know, it's interesting because we've talked about fresh blood in the NBA and fresh blood in sports, period, and we'll get to the NFL in a second. But one of the things we've been talking about is, you know, Lakers lose and LeBron's out and, you know, a changing of the guard sometimes. And yet people kind of looked at the Knicks. Well, that was fresh. They hadn't been in the playoffs in, like, they're like on a Mariner streak, weren't they? Like 20-plus years or something?
Yeah, and you know, they had been, it's not just that. It's not like, oh, they've been close. Like, they've been bad and lost in the world wandering and, like, all the different metaphors. So the fact that they were back in the playoffs and could sort of create that atmosphere for everyone, even just for two nights in New York City, was certainly worth it and honestly pretty amazing.
Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, brought to you by Porter & York. PorterNewYork.com. All right, we can talk. You and I could talk baseball or basketball forever, but people are out here in the Northwest, Rapp, and your guy Mikey G yesterday from the NFL Network kind of came on the air with our other guys and maybe threw some cold water on Julio to Seattle, but he didn't close the door on it. So here we are 24 hours later. Julio Jones, we'll just start with this. Who are the front runners for his services?
I'm not sure it's Seattle, if that sort of answers your question. I mean, the problem with Seattle, and you know this well, and it's also the problem with now the Carolina Panthers, it's the same thing with the Eagles. They check on everything. They just check on everything. So, you know, I feel like every single trade rumor involves John Schneider in some form or fashion because, yes, the Seahawks always check. And, like, would they use Julio Jones? I don't know. I mean, I guess. I mean, you have DK, you drafted a receiver high. Paid another receiver. I mean, I don't know. Like, I guess everybody could use Julio Jones, so you'd figure it out. But, like, to me, that would not be the way I would spend my money if I was Seattle. But you never know what value you're going to get. Like, if they're giving him away for a fourth rounder, you better call. So I got the sense more from Seattle's standpoint that it was due diligence, kind of checking in more so than anything. And I don't get the sense that any of it was sort of, like, advanced conversations. Still about the teams who – you know, would be short of favorites or whatever you would say. Mm-hmm. I think the Titans would certainly be potentially in the mix. They would be one. You know, I'm sure the Patriots have called. I would say that would be another. I mean, you know, it's the 49ers have had some interest. The Rams have had some interest. It's not like hot now, but there's certainly some teams that are circling.
Well, and go back to Seattle for just a heartbeat because, you know, you said something there, and I've kind of tried to touch on this on our air here as well. You know, any GM, but specifically, I mean, we always hear Schneider and Carroll, especially Pete Carroll. It's one of our favorite Carrollisms. Hey, we're in on everything. We're in on everyone. Yeah. He never says, you know, he can't say specific players because it'd be tampering, but he always says that. Is that out of the ordinary, or are all teams always making calls on guys just to see?
You know, I would say it's becoming more and more the norm as more of these kind of guys become GMs. Like, Carolina was not always like that, but now you got Scott Fitter, one of, you know, John Schneider's former top lieutenants, and now the Panthers are in on everything too, and he said it at his press conference, and they basically made 85 trades during the draft. I mean, you're just getting more and more of these type of guys, you know, in the NFL who are not scared of trades, and not only that, like, who are not scared of having their name mentioned during trade talks. Like, do you think John Schneider cares if you say, oh, yeah, well, you know, Seattle could be in on hold? He doesn't care because you never know what you can get. And if someone finds out that you made a call on Julio, like, okay, like, you'll deal with that. But it's more important just to kind of see what the offer is going to be.
Well, you'd be derelict in your duties. If, I mean, what if all of a sudden they said, yeah, well, if you have a fourth round pick, we'll give them to you. What, I mean, whatever it might be. Right. I mean, it's not right. I mean, that'd be crazy not to. It's interesting you bring up Fitterer because, yeah, that's how these guys have always operated. And I think that, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, Rap, because you're dealing with, you know, 2.1 million Twitter followers and everything else. We're just dealing with little sports radio here in Seattle, but you know how it works. As soon as you hear that, boy, Seattle might be in on somebody or they might have made a call, well, all of a sudden there's this fury and the fan base goes crazy and they're going to get him. And it's like this big, and somewhere in the VMAC at the Seahawks headquarters, Schneider's insulated. He's not listening to any of that, right? He doesn't care.
Well, and he doesn't care. I mean, I'm sure he listens to all of it because you can actually pick up some things from the media. I just don't think he really cares.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the only thing that would ever get a team upset as far as having their name mentioned in trade talks would be if you only have one of them, right? Like, let's say it got out that, and this is not true, but let's say the Seahawks were trying to trade Russell Wilson. Obviously, we know that was not the case, but let's just say then you'd have to go and explain to Russell, actually, we're not trying to trade you. We're just so, you know, offending one specific player when it comes to interest in another player would be the only sort of downside to this. Otherwise, like, really just the cost of doing business. And I don't get the sense that the active GMs really care.
You brought up the name Russell Wilson, so let me just go there for a second, because the only thing I took from, you know, what Diana had tweeted out there, because what she tweeted out there to me was the most obvious thing in the world. Yeah, John Schneider's made a call. Probably 20 other GMs have, as you mentioned as well. No big deal. But he did mention Russell Wilson, or she did mention, you know, Russell Wilson worked out. I don't know what whatever reference was. That almost felt to me like it was coming from Russ.
I don't.
Or Mark Rogers. I should say Mark Rogers, because I don't think Russ. I think Mark Rogers does Russell's dirty work. But I mean, do you think there's any pressure from Russ like there was with Antonio Brown?
I'll just say I checked in, like, I check in on everything. I checked in on whether or not Julio had a conversation. I checked with people close to Russell Wilson, and no one had heard anything about it. I'm not saying that it is true or not true. I honestly have no idea. Like, did Julio and Russ speak? Possibly. I really don't know. I just know when I reached out to people close to Russell, nobody said, yes, they talked. So
that's big.
Maybe her sources are better than mine. That happens. It would not be a crime, you know,
yeah.
Happens all the time. But I know I could not personally confirm that part of it.
No, but that's a big deal, Rap, because if there was the push from Russ through Mark Rogers or whatever, right? Like, if like we've seen with Antonio Brown, you or Mike or Tom Pelissero, there wouldn't just be, people wouldn't know. That would be concerted effort. And I think that's the only thing that I think would be like, okay, really, is Russ going down this road again just when it feels like they've come to a kumbaya? They've got mini camps next week, by the way, Tuesday and Wednesday. We'll see if any of those guys do show up. Geno Smith was there this past week for a a closed practice to the media, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure if Geno's roster spot is as certain as some guys out there. Before I let you go and get your kid off to baseball, I know you got a baseball action this afternoon. Before I do that, Geno Atkins, defensive tackle, an all-pro. He's one of the top guys on the free agent market, along with guys like K.J. Wright, Richard Sherman, and others. What's the status with Geno Atkins?
Yeah, so this is kind of an interesting one because, you know, Geno Atkins, I almost, like, it feels weird saying this, but I didn't realize how what his resume is. 8-time Pro Bowler. That's, like, insane. 8-time Pro Bowler. Mm-hmm. 2-time All-Pro. He had rotator cuff surgery, and his problem is he had it for most of last year, the torn rotator cuff. So he was not himself. And so, like, if you look at the film, you're like, oh, well, he's not the same player. Well, he was badly injured. I mean, that's a hard injury to play with.
Yeah.
And so he's going to be cleared by July 1st, which means you're talking probably visits in July and then probably signing before camp. Someone is going to get a very good, very motivated, probably moderately priced Pro Bowler. That is certainly a name to watch when it comes to free agents on the market coming up.
Do we expect, final question for you, do we expect guys like, whether it be Atkins, as you just articulated, or the Shermans of the world, the KJ Wrights of the world, are those guys all pre or right around training camp signings at this point now?
We might get a couple before, minicamp just to get them in. The problem is, like, mainly because this offseason's been so muted a little bit, so kind of, like, tamped down, I don't get the sense minicamps or any sort of deadline for almost anything this year. Mm. So maybe more signings before training camp than anything else.
Good luck to, is it Max? Is that who's got the game or practice today? What do we got?
Max has soccer and then baseball, and then we got Jude early tomorrow morning. So we got all sorts of kids' sports things happening over here.
Buddy, as a guy that's got a high school senior graduating 1 week from today, it goes by fast. Let me just, you can't do this, but I'm going to tell you to do it anyway. Turn off the damn phone. Now that you've talked to us, out here in Seattle, turn off the phone.
That's it. That's the most important conversation I'll have today. So everything else is, I'll turn it off after this.
Enjoy the new cooking gear out there in the backyard. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you in 7 days. Rap, thanks.
Awesome, man. Thank you. Always good talking to you, and have a great weekend.
Ian Rappaport brought to you by Porter & York. Porter & York, Kevin?
It's rare meat. It's well done.
PorterNYork.com. Go there. Local meat too, right? It's local.
Local company, yeah. They're
yeah, which is good because if you're like the big company down south, like you had a cyber attack, you have issues right now. I don't think Porter & York has those issues because they're here in Washington.
No, they don't. They're fine.
They haven't been ransomware or whatever the hell crap is going on. So PorterNYork.com. Big thanks to them for Rap Sheet. You know, the one thing I got out of that with to kind of wrap it up as far as Julio Jones is concerned, this might be something that sits there and festers for a while. Right, it feels like it. You know, where he ends up could be something we don't find out until training camp, maybe.
Yeah, I will say if I think the encouragement from that, if this was a Wilson push,
it's not there.
Then they would have wanted to make sure that someone else knew that too.
Right. Oh, for sure. For sure.
What I would say, while it's possible that there was a conversation between Russ and Julio about how it would be fun to have him there.
Yep.
If when Rap is digging around, no one is saying, yeah, Russ really wants him to come to Seattle. If no one's saying that to Rap, then it seems like we're not quite down the I want Antonio Brown road.
No, because Mark Rogers, as I mentioned, does the dirty work for Russ, his agent.
Yeah.
And there's no way he would have pushed that agenda only to Diana Russini and not to, you know, Rapp, Schefter, Pelissero, you know, on and on and on. Like you said, he'd want that. They'd want that out. They'd want it because if they do have that, you push that agenda and you do it for a reason because you want it to happen. And the better way to do that is to say, hey, Russ isn't happy. Let's get this message out there. That message wasn't out there. It was almost like a throw in she had at the last line. It's like, interesting. But
yeah. I'll say this, maybe the other, to give Russ credit, This is not the same thing as Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown would have cost them just the dollars against the cap. This is more than that.
Veterans minimum at that.
Well, that's
right?
What I'm saying.
Yeah.
So Antonio Brown was just going to cost them dollars. This cost them buku dollars and draft capital. So this is a lot more involved than the other one. So I think we can maybe breathe a little bit easier knowing that we're not going down that same road.
Yeah,
That's how I interpret it.
No, I would agree too. In fact, it came across to me as feeling way better than it should have, because I think that's there's two elements here. One is with Julio, how interested are the Seahawks? Were they just kicking the tires and doing their due diligence? And if you listen closely to what Rapp said there, they're kind of at the forefront of doing that. And now you see Scott Fitterer, who was working with Schneider, now he's doing that as a GM in Carolina. We're going to kick the tires and ask about everyone, even if we think it's unrealistic, which, according to Rapp, isn't what everybody does. He does do that. But then that causes the following to happen. Oh, the Seahawks are interested in Julio Jones. Well, maybe they're not just interested. They're just doing their due diligence. Okay. 49451, Coors Seltzer text line, world's most refreshing seltzer. We'll check your text coming up next.
Now back to Ian Furness on Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR.
Hello. I got you. Okay. I think you're a little slow on the draw, fella.
You were on the whole time.
Oh, was I?
Yeah.
Before we get to text, 49451, Coors Seltzer text line, world's most refreshing seltzer. Before we get to those in a couple seconds, Kevin stumbled across a story. This is just the most golf thing ever.
I can't believe it's real, but...
I think it is.
Here's the reality, Ian. I didn't believe it, so I had to go check at golf.com and see if he actually is a writer there, and he is, and his Twitter account is linked from golf.com. This is a legitimate person that's saying this.
James Colgan is the writer Kevin is referring to from golf.com. They're at the Memorial Jacks tournament in Ohio this weekend. He tweeted out this: "Whoa, sure seems like someone has, in fact, given the directive to remove anyone from the crowd who yells, 'Brooksy,' in Bryson DeChambeau's direction. At least three fans have been removed on the front nine." He started on the back, by the way. "Security is going to the crowd to have fans removed." Now, Colgan goes on to say, "Bryson hasn't personally asked to have someone ejected while I've been out here, at least as far as I can tell. Doesn't have to. Security police are simply pulling anyone who says Brooks's name out."
I'm so horrified and shocked by that. It's ridiculous. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Like, you are that bothered by people saying a word.
Well, but here's the thing. We don't know. Like he said, he didn't say that Bryson DeChambeau had asked that to happen.
But there's no way it's anything else.
Well, I don't know. I would believe it a lot more on the other side. I don't think DeChambeau's bothered at all by Brooks Koepka. He's not. Koepka's the one that just has always been, for whatever reason, has always kind of been the aggressor in this little rivalry. I mean, now, maybe I can see someone... See, it's Jack's tournament.
Right.
And where they're at, I can see some highbrow PGA official stepping in and saying, "We can't have that."
But that's...
And Colgan said he didn't think that, or he hadn't been told that it was Bryson that asked that. Because if he... I think Bryson would be a flat-out fool to ask that to happen. Like, just, you would be a fool to say, can you do that?
Here's the reality.
I can see the PGA guys who are as stuffy as they come.
For sure.
Doing that. Yeah, for sure.
But I'm telling you, like, if that's actually happening, and I believe him because this is actually a golf.com writer using their Twitter account.
Yeah.
Then someone who... at least is in some way in contact with DeChambeau and or his caddy needs to tell them so they can say, stop.
Yeah.
Because that makes them look so stupid.
Yeah.
Can you imagine in a sporting event? Now, I understand if they, words have meaning and attacking guys, whatever. But something as simple as that?
Sure.
That's terrible.
All right, I'm just looking to see. So DeChambeau right now is one under for the tournament. The cut line's three over. So he'll make the cut, it does appear. Where is our boy Koepka? I'm curious. What I want to see, please be the case. Please be the case. Where is Brooks? What the hell? Why can't I find Brooks Koepka? Did he withdraw? Oh, Where the hell's he at? Do you see him anywhere?
I'm checking.
Because the last I saw, he was in that same range of like one over.
Paired.
Oh, God, that'd be the greatest thing ever. I mean, Puck brought up the point last week or this week, and I think he's right. The USGA is the most diabolical group in sports. If you are the USGA, you pair those two knuckleheads together in the first round of the U.S. Open.
Well, you, I mean,
just do it.
For ratings, you kind of have to.
You do
are
it.
Are we sure he's playing this weekend? I don't see Koepka.
You don't see it. He must not be playing. Oh, you know what? I saw highlights. I was watching yesterday because the Golf Channel's in the other room.
Okay.
So I'm watching through two microphones and the glass.
Yeah.
They were showing it from last year. It was last year's tournament. Yeah. Or no, 2 years ago because Tiger was playing. Please, USGA, pair them together in the first round of the U.S. Open. Like you've done a lot of things wrong, like screwing up Chambers Bay and then blaming Chambers Bay for it. How about this? Make this right. I will not criticize you anymore. Put those two knuckleheads together. That would be the greatest thing ever.
That would be wonderful.
I'll be so fantastic. Let's get text 4951. That's the Coors Seltzer text line, world's most refreshing seltzer. What do you got, Kev?
Mine is for me. 206, what happened to the Jackson 5? You're right. I didn't play today. I played Dr. John. Whoops.
We got to... Yeah, we're a little different with what we're doing right
but
now.
It's
so
that's on me.
It should be this. It should be the
second segment of the 2 o'clock hour.
2 o'clock hour
is when we play Jackson 5, yeah. And I blew it, and I apologize for everyone.
Have you
who
blown
says,
it all week? I think you have. Now that I think of it,
I think I might have.
And that so that would be your minus five. That's a minus five for the week.
That's a tough week.
It's a tough week. I don't know. Week. If somebody could find a reason to give Kevin a plus back, we can get him down to like at least a minus four.
We
for
do
the
it.
Week.
You know what? After pointing out that some people hate us, someone did send in, gonna send some love. You guys are great. Good show today. Also, LeBron's a punk from the 425. All right, minus four for me now. Can I point out something on the LeBron thing?
Sure.
I don't care about whether or not he shakes hands afterward. I really don't. I mean, it's sort of chump. I don't care about that.
I know.
Here's what my problem is.
Yeah?
Dude, if you're on the court, play the effing game. I couldn't believe... If they had an ISO cam on him for the last, like 5 minutes that he was on the court to the end of the game, that when he's staying on the other side and standing there complaining to the ref while his team is trying to defend on the other side, I don't give a damn what the score is. You don't give up while you're one of the five guys
on
the court.
It started with about 3.5 minutes to go. He thought he got fouled. He didn't. And he just stood there. I remember that specifically. He stood there.
He didn't cross the half court line.
Yeah, and then he finally came out.
And then the next possession. And then on the next possession, he did the same thing, only there was a missed shot, so he eventually came into the screen. That was the most disgraceful act of basketball I've ever seen.
I understand what you say about not caring about the handshake. I just think that... You have to be better.
Sure.
You're not anybody. Like, you're not just anybody. I think guys at that level and at that stature, and right now he's the guy in the NBA.
Sure.
Has been for a while. But the example he sets for other young players coming up, because here the NBA, more so than any league, talks about, the tradition and the predecessors and guys like that. I mean, you hear anytime you watch Inside, they'll talk about what Magic and Larry meant, and Isaiah Thomas and all those guys, what they meant to Charles and Shaq, and you hear guys talk about that all the time. LeBron doesn't respect. I think he doesn't respect the game as much as some guys do, and I think that's the problem I have. And again, I'll just go back. I know your job's not to be a role model, but we can't sit there and bitch and complain about how poor sports kids are these days and how they act and all that. When the petulant nonsense you see from... And really, it's only one guy in the NBA that's that bad. I saw Russell Westbrook,
man.
Russell Westbrook screams that. He screams that attitude. And yet you see Russell Westbrook after a game, and there's respect for the other guys. Because I just don't think... I think he's a selfish, selfish person. And I think because of that... You see him walk off with 6 minutes to go. Kevin, I don't think it's any different what you're talking about with shaking hands to how he plays the game at the end of the game. He's tapped out. I'm done. I'm going to make sure everybody sees that I'm upset and I'm mad, so I'm going to stand here on my side of half court, not going to go anywhere. And then when the game's over, while everyone else is shaking hands and showing respect, shake hands with Monty freaking Williams. He's the coach of the year, the most well-respected and well-liked coach in the NBA, went through hell and back with his family. everyone's going up to Monty Williams, and you don't have to play the full 48 minutes or however long you're on the floor. You don't have to stay on the floor in Phoenix because there's 6 minutes to go and you're pissed. You're just going to walk off, and you don't have to shake hands. I think it's all the same thing, Kev.
Yeah, I draw a pretty significant distinction between when you're on the court playing a game and what happens afterwards. And I have
Kevin's kid will not shake hands with other Little League kids.
Well, look,
when Kevin's kid's playing Little League and he's pitching
he's
and he gets
spit
lit
his
up,
hand and
he's
do
just
that.
He's gonna say, "Dad, I want to go home right now," even though the game still has three more innings. I'm out.
No, that's
and
the
lovely Mrs. Shock. He'll say, "You two are staying there."
What I'm telling you, if you are in the game, my son, if he is in the game,
yes.
Will give the effort. When I play basketball on Saturday mornings, Ian, I'm terrible, but I'm out there and I run. I don't stay on the other side of the effing court.
Damn right.
Okay?
Damn
That's
right.
That's my problem. So what he does outside of the game, fine, whatever. Not playing when you're in the game is some serious bullwiggy. Okay? That is terrible.
You're going to coach your kid in Little League, aren't you?
Probably not, man. Dude, I'm just not I'm not good enough. I'm just not. I will support the hell out of him, and I will root for him. And if he wants to play catch with me or any of that stuff, 100%. But coaching his teams, I'm not good enough. And I'm willing to admit that.
No, but that's good because otherwise that Little League team would be the poorest sports in all the history of Little League. Because Kevin would say, you know what, we just got our teeth kicked in. Let's walk away. We're done.
No, Ian.
We're done. We're out of here.
I'm not telling him that, but the one thing that we won't do is quit while we're in the game.
I think it's all the same thing, but that's fine.
No, you're wrong. It's a four-day week, so only minus three.
Yes.
Forgot about that. We were off on Monday.
So, no, it's a minus four, not a minus five.
Right, but we got the plus one, so now it's a minus three.
Oh, you did get a plus?
Yeah.
I thought that was just...
That's for both of us.
That's like a team rebound. Does it really count?
Counts for both of us. Shut up.
I don't know. It's like a team rebound. It doesn't really... Josh Portis, by the way. Was two. Also, Boykin, I think, was number two as well. Somebody brought that up.
He's right.
Okay, we kind of erase Boykin.
Yeah.
You know, when you go to jail and stuff. When you're last seen being a running back in garbage time.
Not great.
Yeah, you're out. Softy joins us next.
Now back to Ian Furness on Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR.
I don't know. That seems a little late, Kevin.
It better late than never.
We play that. I'll let Dick Fain decide.
Our arbiter?
He can be our arbiter.
What's that?
So this is like a contract arbitration.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, so basically when Kelnick goes in a couple years, and they say, well, dude, you've never hit a buck above a buck 50.
League minimum. Next.
Kidding. Stop. I'm sure it's early.
Yeah, well, I dropped the joke yesterday that if we ever go 0 for 12 from the EQC, it's called the Kelenic.
Oh!
Oh, man.
It's you know what? And before I get to the arbitrator for that's going to decide here, that's unfortunately the position that organization and anybody who plays for them is in. You do not get the benefit of the doubt, and you are the butt end of every joke until you change that narrative.
I want him to succeed.
Sure.
But as he is just... And, like, I'm not
flailing.
Even... Here's the thing. I'm not mad about his frustration. Like, being pissed after you fail, like, that's fine.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
But his at-bats are terrible.
Terrible.
It's
almost
problem.
Like they're getting worse.
Yes.
Yes.
It's a problem. And yes, he's flailing.
Yeah.
And again, if he would have had a little bit of failure at some point in baseball before here, maybe he'd be out of this a little sooner.
So what's the 100 line? The half Mendoza or is it the Kelenic? Oh, I mean, what is when
Dave
he gets
Valley.
When he gets
Dave
to 100?
It's the Dave Valley line.
The Valley line. Remember what was the what
was
the
50.
What was the bar that? What
Sluggers.
Was the bar?
Was it Sluggers?
Was it Sluggers?
No, it was a comedy place. It was the place also did comedy.
That did the beers, sold the beers for whatever Dave Valley was hitting?
Whatever Dave Valley was hitting, that's what a pint of Rainier would cost you.
Well, here's my question.
Which was just awesome.
Awesome.
Do we need to adjust a Mendoza line based on the era? Because the major league average, like the major league baseball batting average
236?
Back then, was a lot higher than now.
What is it now, 230?
236.
This is the lowest it's ever been.
Yeah.
So now is the new Mendoza line like 175?
Yeah.
150?
Pathetic.
Well, to put this in perspective, and I mentioned this yesterday. I saw one of these stats, and this will be right in Ian's wheelhouse.
Yes.
Dave Kingman was the guy that when we were playing wiffle ball, you would shut your eyes and swing as hard as you can, and you'd be like, hey, I just did the Dave Kingman, right?
Right.
Dave Kingman's strikeout percentage, walk percentage, and then what they call the three true outcomes, home run, strikeout, or walk percentage, is exactly, his career is exactly what the Major League Baseball average is in 2021. Major League Baseball has turned into Dave Kingman.
Well, here's the reality.
Yes or no. He was a yes or no player.
At a very quick look, and this is what I love about Baseball Reference, OPS Plus is with the league average being at 100. He only had four seasons where he was under league average for OPS Plus. Mm-hmm. But back then, people cared way more about strikeouts and batting average, so he was totally valued differently.
Correct. By the way, I'm more of a Gorman Thomas guy myself. But
same type of player.
Yeah.
So, Steve Balboni.
Oh,
Greg Luzinski.
Well, first of all.
Greg Luzinski. That's not
Greg Luzinski, the fine Philadelphia Philly.
Rob Deere. I could go on forever. I know so much more about baseball between 1980 and 1992 than I do now. It's not even fun.
What was our guy Kevin Mitchell catching the balls with one hand, striking out, and you know that guy. All right, so here's the arbiter. We have to ask this because Kevin's trying to sway you away from this.
By the way, Jared Kellnick's OPS Plus right now is 21. League average is 100.
Say that out loud again.
Dave Kingman's worst OPS Plus ever was 79. Jared Kellnick's OPS Plus right now, 20.
Oh, okay. Well, while I'll set the table here for Dick. While I do that, can you look up Valleys?
Sure.
Okay. Let's see. How about 21-cent beers? That'd be great.
Yeah, it would. Oh, that'd be trouble.
Let's build
that
silver cloud. Let's get them going. So, Kevin, every day, our second segment, the 2 o'clock hour, Dick, for the last probably, 15, 16 months, maybe longer.
Longer than that.
Longer than that. Maybe almost 2 years. We play ABC by Jackson 5. Kind of an uplifting, hey, let's get going. Even if we're talking about bad stuff that day or whatever, kind of a pick-me-up. You can't be in a bad mood. Yeah, you can't be in a bad mood to hear that song. So, for some reason this week, up until someone on the text line reminded him, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, the last 4 days, Kevin did not play it. I think it's too late. He plays it to try to get a minus off of his record, off his score sheet, like we're playing hockey here.
Just to help out a little bit.
I think that's just like you got an empty net goal. You don't really get much credit for that.
But that's still empty netters still count, don't they?
So did he play something else first and then change that today?
No.
No,
I played it a different segment.
He just tried to get a minus off the sheet by playing it later after it had been pointed out.
Yes.
By the listener.
No, that's a minus.
Thank you very much. In fact, almost be another minus.
Oh, really. Come on!
Almost be another minus.
This is bullcrap. By the way,
That's like hitting a three after the shot clock expires, man. You got to wave it off.
Yeah.
The lowest OPS plus that Dave Valley ever had with the Mariners.
Yeah.
If you don't include 1 year where he had minus three because he had a 352 OPS that year. But he only had 73 plate appearances.
Okay.
All right.
Played 31 games. Okay. But the lowest in a normal season was 63.
And Kelnick's where?
21.
And just again for reference for you young folks out there, there was a bar in Seattle that had drinks beers were the price of Dave Valley's batting average. It was that bad. Normally they were around $2 or less.
Yeah, $1.07 right now for going off the
Kelnick's last hit. His last hit was a week ago Tuesday.
Oh, wow.
That's 10 days.
It's a problem.
They need to send him down.
Can you?
I think you can.
I think you have to. I think why'd you send Trammell down? You had to. You had
right,
to.
But
you had, for his sake and for long term, you have to. Hell, I think they could save face by doing it. Just say, hey, do it.
Here's the problem. You made the decision that he was ready for Major League Baseball, and now you're saying you're not ready for Major League Baseball?
No, he's obviously not. They made a mistake. Fain, what are you guys doing today? Who's with you? You solo?
No. We have got the star of Seattle, the winner of the Therese Paylor Emerging Writing Award.
I saw that.
Michael Sean Dugar is co-hosting today from The Athletic.
Well, we don't need young, talented people here.
No, we want old curmudgeons like you and me.
That have no talent. Yes.
Exactly.
We don't need young talent. We need to have guys like us on here.
All right, Jackson, call Mike. He's out.
He's out. what are you guys talking about?
Oh, we're gonna talk a lot of football at the beginning. I got a bone to pick with Michael Sean when he was on with Softy a couple weeks ago, so we got to hammer that out. I'll butter him up in the first segment, and then I'll hammer him in the second segment.
It's like the typical interview.
That'll be
softball, 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 and then throw a fastball.
Exactly. So we'll do that. We'll talk some NBA playoffs on this as well. Donald Watt's going to join us at 6 o'clock. We got fun with audio. We got stats for losers. We got all sorts of fun Fridays.
Beautiful, man. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too.
For the mild-mannered and marginally objectionable Ian Furness, this is Panel Day saying, so long, everyone.